Got to make sure I don't turn this on too soon while I'm still singing. Oh, man. Good songs. I appreciate your comment about the having that expectation and the confidence of where we're going. The Apostle John mentions that tonight, that we can have that assurance in 1 John, the second chapter. If you would, turn toward the end of the New Testament, to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. The last time, a couple weeks ago, that I had the opportunity to speak to you in the evening, we looked at chapter 1. And just a little reminder, the Apostle John was not only writing to encourage and to teach Christians in the first century, but within that first few years, there was already, you know, just the church is made up of people, and people were going astray from the original teachings. And a couple of the main thoughts that John was wanting to get across, he was addressing some of the people that were teaching that only they have the truth. That you need us to tell you the truth. It was already breaking that clergy laity type attitude. You know, and John is approaching this issue. You can know. You got to remember, he was there when Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free," in John 8, that the Apostle John wrote about. And John is writing that you don't need special people to give revelations to you. You can know. People were already, I don't want to say they were breaking away from the church, because John says they weren't from us. But they were coming out of the midst, leading people away. Wolves in sheep's clothing. And he was addressing this. Another issue that John, in fact, most of the writers, Peter, the Apostle Peter, addressed this. Paul addressed this. John addressed this. Jesus was real. And there were people just a few decades later that was saying Jesus was not a real person. He was this mystical, magical idea, that he did not come in the flesh. The Apostle Peter was adamant about it. We were eyewitnesses to it. John was adamant. He who we saw, we held, we walked with, talked with. John made it a point that this man, the Son of God, was real, walked the earth. If he didn't, the teachings would have been based on sand. It would have just washed away. And as we get into chapter 2, keep some of these things in mind. I'm going to have some of the verses kind of, or some of the words underlined, just how many times John emphasizes certain words like know, that we can know. It starts out in verse 1, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." That is a whole bucket of comfort right there. That if we do sin, it's not over. That if we stumble, everything that we had done positively is not just thrown to the wind. That we have an advocate, somebody that will go to bat for us. And who, it's not some Glenn Lerner, the heavy hitter. It's the Son of God that's going to be the advocate for us. And this is an unbelievable, comforting passage to me. Goes on to say, by this we know that we know Him. If, there's that little word if, conjunction, junction, watch your function. If we keep His commandments. John is driving that point home that we can know that we know Him. That we can know Him, Him that we had never physically had met. We can know Him if we keep His commandments. You know, and keeping His commandments, we have to keep His commandments in behavior and our actions, but also in attitude. You know, I sometimes find it a little easier to keep His commandments by my behavior than sometimes my thoughts. Anger can go from 0 to 60 that fast. Irritation, resentment. Those are just as big as sins as things we do. And then also, you know, keeping His commandments with the way we worship. There's a lot of people that live good lives. There's a lot of people that live, you know, that just literally have wonderful attitudes going through life. But unfortunately, they worship wrong. Jesus says you have to worship in spirit and in truth. Some of these very things about this, they're in John 14, 15, 14, 23, 15, 14, they all say basically the same. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, he says the same thing in just various ways. And we have to. We can know we know Him if we're walking in His Word. Verse 4, he who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar. John's not pulling any punches here. He's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him, that if we do those things, he who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. That's the standard. I have been very, very fortunate to have had some unbelievable Christian mentors in my life that I look to, I look up to. They've taught me, they've guided me, and in many ways I've tried to emulate them, learned a lot from them, but they're not my goal. Those individuals are not my end result goal. Amen. We need to walk as Jesus walked. He's the standard. Not if I can live up and be like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, but to be like Jesus. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. He's not telling us anything that Jesus hadn't told him. that you had heard in the Gospels. The old commandment is the word which you had heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Here it comes back to that behavior versus attitude. Jesus extensively taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew that if you just because you don't murder somebody, but if you hate somebody, you've already murdered them. If you don't commit adultery, but lust for somebody else in your heart, you've already sinned. And it's not only the behavior we have to watch out for, it's the attitude. That if we say we're in the light, but we hate our brothers and sisters, you're missing the point. And that's what John is saying. I write to you, little children. I love how he started off as little children. He's not talking down to them. He's talking in an endearing term. How much he loves them. As my children, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his namesake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Did I do that twice? No. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. That word abides. You live in it. We abide in our house. That's where we live. That's where our lives center around. John says, and the word of God abides in you. That's an identifying mark of a Christian, is if that word is in you. Not necessarily, like we were talking today in Bible class, not necessarily to be able to recite long passages. I have known people that could do that. I knew a preacher that put on a weekend seminar to try to teach you how to memorize stuff. Rather than learning to memorize stuff, you need to have it in you. It needs to be in you. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I understand the concept. John explains it much better than I can. We have to live here. God has granted us X amount of time to be on this world, on this earth. But we don't have to be of the world. We don't have to be of this and in the midst of it. We're here. That song we sang earlier, 795, this world is not my home. The more mature we get in the Word, the less hold the world has on us. The less hold we have on, the less grip we have on the world. We're able to let go of things that are temporary. We realize this is a temporary setting. And we start putting our stock in things that will last. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those three things, I cannot think of any action or attitude that we could have that's sin that doesn't fall under one of those categories. The lust, I mean, those are the three pathways of sin. We've had Sunday morning sermons based on that. Lust of the flesh. We have the first thing that comes to my mind was David in 2 Samuel 11, where he lusted, he saw Bathsheba and he lusted. He didn't control the lust of his flesh. The lust of the eyes, the story of the rich young ruler that wanted to know what he must do to have eternal life. And Jesus told him, you need to keep the commandments. And the young man was elated. I've kept the commandments since my youth. And Jesus told him, there's one thing you lack. Go and sell all your possessions and give that to the poor and come and follow me. That was the one thing he lacked. That was the one thing that he was still had that one foot, a couple of toes in the world. And it said he went away sorrowful because he had a lot. The things he saw, he couldn't let go of. And with the pride of life, a few pages over in your Bible, in the book of 3 John, verse 9, you have... John talks about Diotrephes, who said he loved to have the preeminence of men. John called him on the carpet for time and eternity that he loved the preeminence of men more than the love of God. Verse 17, John explains all the three paths of sin. And, you know, don't love the world. He says, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that this is the last hour. John is not saying, we know that he's not meaning the last hour, the last 60 minutes. This is the last era. After this, there's nothing else. It's going to be judgment. We have right around the corner the last hour. And he's saying, this is it. There's not going to be a lot of time left. Whether it lasts another 15 minutes from now or another 3,000 years, I don't know. But John says, this is it. It's coming. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. It is so sad, this passage, because how many, if they would have just left, oh well, good riddance, glad you're gone. But how many others did they affect? How many did they persuade? How many others did they deceive? And they were wolves in sheep's clothing. They might have been physically in our presence, but they weren't part of us. They never were. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. There were people at that time, during the time that John wrote this, that were saying, Jesus is a great idea, a good concept, but he didn't exist. He wasn't the Son of God. Verse 23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And isn't that why one of the steps of salvation is so important? Confession. Confession before men. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 20, or 33, 32 and 33, he says, whosoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father. There's that advocate that John was talking about. And he goes on to say in verse 33, but if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. That's the promise being fulfilled, is eternal life. We know that God and Jesus do not lie. They have promised us eternal life if we abide in him and he abides in us. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. You'll live in it. Not go in one ear, out the other, but truly live there. Truly live there. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. A wonderful chapter. Next week, we will look at chapter 3. John wanted the people he was writing to, and even by proxy, us, to know a few things, that you can know the truth. That you don't have to just wishful thinking hope. I hope I get XYZ for Christmas. But we can know our salvation. That we can know him. If we abide in Him, if we abide in His Word and it in us. If you need to respond to the invitation, I think everybody here tonight is a baptized believer, have put Jesus on in baptism. If there's anything we can do for you, if you need prayers, if you need to repent, those of you watching online, if you need to be baptized, Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you've come to the realization that you need to be baptized, either contact us here at South Valley, or if you live out of state, out of town, contact a local Church of Christ where you live. And they will, I promise, they will be more than happy to assist you. But whatever your need, please come forward, let your needs be known while Daryl leads us in the invitation.